On this edition of the Car Jam podcast.
First, Sir Jackie Stewart, we've had a change of mind, haven't we? So we have to then go back and change a few. And of course, his artworks have been done.
So what you're saying is if there's anybody else who, say, raced the McLaren in the 70s, we'll just go over Sir Jackie's face.
Like, that may be what we would do.
They've clearly developed in their style over the years. And they've gone from maybe a car that's not so great in their teens. And we've captured that together with a car they've had in their late 50s. And you can really see a change in the person's style.
Let's put that one at the back, shall we?
That's right. Some trees. Spot on, to be honest. Be really good. We've really enjoyed it. You guys are brilliant.
Yeah. Right, keep that
keep
bit,
that
Tony.
Yeah. I was just about to press stop. I'm glad I didn't.
Tony, we've got another guest today. Hooray. I'm actually quite excited because Tony said our guest paints cars, and I thought, brilliant, the BMW can finally get its respray that it so badly needs. But not a car painter, but an artist who makes art based around cars. So what we normally do is we get the guest to introduce themselves. So Bex, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, so hi guys, I am Bex. I'm known as Art by Bex, and I specialise in capturing iconic or classic cars on canvas for the owner or the driver of the car. So pretty unique.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating. So the website is Art by Bex, which we will promote again in a minute. But what got you into painting cars or doing paintings of cars?
So I've always loved artwork. It's been a skill I've had. It's pretty much been passed down my family. And when I finished school, I always had an interest in cars. Went to my first car show, which was the British Mini Club show at Himley Hall at the time. Mm. I absolutely loved it. Met loads of new people, saw some incredible cars. And I thought, you know what? Why don't I just join my love of artwork, my skill there, with my love of cars. And I got my first clients that day.
Oh, wow. Do you remember what that car was, that first one?
It was a around the world minivan, and the gentleman travelled the whole of the UK as well as various countries in his red minivan, and I captured his car with a map behind, with the whole route that he'd done over the years. So something very special.
You'll find through this process of talking to us that we're different kind of artists, beginning with P. But we're trying to understand, particularly I am trying to understand how you do this, because I look at it and I think, I look at your work or, you know, any artistry generally, and I think, I'm sure I could do that. I feel I could do it. And yet I get a piece of paper out and a pencil or a piece of charcoal or whatever, and it's utter rubbish. You know, so did you start just with a pencil and drew something and go, yeah, I can do this? Or did you have to culture it?
It grows over time. The more I've done, the more professional the artwork is, and the serious as well, because, of course, everything is bespoke. The whole design is created together with the car owner, and then that develops over time. So before you know it, a pencil drawing turns into a masterpiece, and together that journey of creating an artwork, especially for a car that has character and history, to capture that on a canvas takes time and quite a lot of practice.
Do you ever start it and get halfway and think, hang on, the proportion of that, I don't know, the A pillar to the B pillar, or the door handle's in slightly the wrong place, or does that happen, or does it just always work?
No, it doesn't always work. For the client, I do my very best. So, but at times, if it doesn't seem right to me, mm-hmm. we start again. Doesn't happen often. But I have a collection called the Legendary Anniversary Collection, which is a collection of signed prints. And they're very, very limited, but they're signed by legends of either the Italian Job cast members of the 1969 movie or from rally stars back in the 60s and 70s. And I would say from the Italian Job collection, there was many times where I just wanted to throw it out the window, because, of course, for an actual scene, capturing a scene from a movie in artwork, of course, the artist has got license to be creative. But it's the technical fine details of the scene and the car, the angles of the lighting, which we nailed it at the end, but it took quite a lot of time to get it perfect.
And one of those is the building jump in Turin, is that right?
Fascinating. So we created that artwork together with Remy Julien and David Simone, who was the Red Mini driver in the movie. Remy Julien was the stunt coordinator for the film. And also we use Michael Caine's stunt double. He also was part of the artwork. So it's very special. But to get that jump, the angle that I actually captured that jump was not the exact angle in the movie. Because the angle in the movie, they go so fast, it's just flies by. But in the artwork, we've captured it at an angle which you kind of see the character of the cars. So that was very, very difficult to do. But I love it.
What are you working from in a case like that then? Have you got a stills of photos? You watch the film, obviously. I mean, do you sort of freeze frame the film, do a quick sketch and then work from, you know, how what's the process of actually deciding angles and
stuff? Good thing. Definitely.
Stuff, yeah. Thanks, Tony. That's the word I was after. Stuff.
So the film, of course, seen a million times and exactly like you said, freeze frame, but the angle wasn't particularly that great in that 1969 film. So what it really means is moving those cars into an angle which does actually suit the scene properly in an artwork that's collectible. So there's been a lot of tweaking involved to really enhance the artwork and enhance the scene better than it was at the beginning, really.
So when a client comes to you and says, "Oh, I want a picture of my car," what do you ask for from that client? Do you need to see the car? Do you need to look up photos of the car? If I came to you and I said, "I've got a BMW that I want an artwork of," what would you then want from me? What would be the sort of criteria that you apply?
You'd want to see one that wasn't yours, for starters.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, you'd want a nice example.
So I travel a lot to different clients, so to see the car is always a bonus. But if that's not possible, photographs of the car, fine details, badges, anything that's personalised on the car to take photos, send them over. And then from there, we kind of develop a dynamic scene or specific arrangement which the client wants. And then we tweak and we move the car to suit that scene. So we can pretty much create anything with any car.
Okay. Because I notice, obviously, a lot of the racing scenes that you do, there's an awful lot of movement in. Some of the cars are static, but I mean, I'm looking at, for example, there's a Nash Metropolitan that's parked in front of a lake, and that's clearly a static Austin Metropolitan, probably. But the racing scenes, there's an awful lot of movement in. How do you get
Mike, I'd like to second that question, actually, because when you were talking about jumping the buildings to Turin, again, how do you get that sense of movement with something that is clearly static?
Tony's going to edit this and it'll be his question, not his, not mine.
That's a good question, Tony.
I thought of that, yeah.
No, me.
So it completely depends. So to get that energy, I have a specific collection called the Action Series, and that's specifically for racing drivers and rally drivers. And it's a completely different kind of skill used with palette knives and very thick paint to really draw that energy out of the canvas. It's hard to explain, but easy to do.
Yeah, because I notice you describe it on the website, and I haven't got it right in front of me, unfortunately. But they're not just paintings; they're sort of 3D works of art. I think you describe it as. Is that right?
Yeah, three-dimensional mediums I use. So lots of different qualities of paint are mixed together, layered. I work on a lot of layers, which not many artists do because it's very time consuming. But the more layers I feel are added to the paint, the more you feel that you're part of it. There's so much to see, especially if it's a larger canvas. I'm currently doing a bespoke Jaguar, and he doesn't want that move in like a movement scene. He wants that purely outside I think it's a specific place in Eastbourne that captures memories for him. Ooh. And for that, I would still use the layers, but not in an action way. So it's a different skill again to kind of capture it with a lot of detail, but of course, just as a kind of stagnant painting.
Yeah. I want you to think of it as being like Karchan, Mike. You know, it's multi-layered. It's multifaceted. It's you know, no?
No, it's right. Not, though, is it? I mean, we're just basically like a crayon sort of.
We're Crayola.
I mean, if we draw the sun, it's still got lines coming out of it.
And a smiley face.
I remember doing art at school, and one of my friends did actually draw the sun. We were about 14, and he drew the sun with lines coming out of it. And the teacher, you could just see the despair in the teacher's face. The sun really doesn't have rays coming out of it. The next thing is going to put a face on it. We haven't asked what medium you work in. I presume it's largely oil paint, is it? Or
it's acrylic. I use acrylic. It's acrylic. Yeah.
Yes. So it at least dries within.
Exactly. Oil is great, but there's a lot of downsides. And the biggest downside is if you want to create a depth with the paint, you're looking a long time for drying. Sometimes they never dry. So
really?
Yeah.
What do you do? In which case you'd recommend to the client, don't put it in a sunny position.
Collection only.
Well, keep it in the dark.
When you go around the Tate Modern turn, you see all these fingerprints on them. That's because people have got stuck to the painting as they've gone by, like a spiderweb painting. So do you just exclusively work in acrylic and applied by a paintbrush, or do you airbrush? Do you sort of use other mediums sometimes?
I use a lot of palette knives, something like this. So you pretty much would use very thick medium and use that on the canvas. Lots of different styles of paintbrush. As I mentioned, different styles of paint. And it's really knowing the consistency, the colour, to bring it all together for it to be a quality piece of artwork. And I think that's where something that a professional artist would be able to do compared to those that are either starting off or doing it as a hobby, maybe.
I would think colour is an incredibly difficult thing to do. And somebody, you know, when they come to you, they want, as you say, the bespoke experience of the right angle, the background, and so on. But they also want their Jaguar to be that correct British racing green, or they want their Mini to be that proper red. How do you do that? Do you just experiment with the paint and try to get that correct metallic sheen to a car?
Lots of testing, that's right. So various different paints, and when it comes to specific colour, I usually ask for a little test pot if they have one of the car's paint. And sometimes that can go directly on the canvas if we want to get it completely spot on. And that works quite nicely.
Wow.
Not naming any names, but has anybody ever come to you with a car and you sort of looked at it and you thought, why do you want a picture of that? That's a hideous looking car. Do you ever sort of think, why want that?
I think when that's happened, it's usually been a collection and someone has had various cars and they've clearly developed in their style over the years. Mm-hmm. And they've gone from maybe a car that's not so great in their teens, and we've captured that together with a car they've had in their late 50s. And you can really see a change in the person's style. And sometimes those first cars in their collection are not so interesting to everybody.
Let's put that one at the back, shall we?
That's right. Trees.
How about the background? How about the background itself? Have you had any odd requests for that?
I've had a lot of people wanting their own home, which is quite different, very personal. Yeah. The most unusual background. I had Betty Boop once. Someone wanted Betty Boop behind their car, which is very strange, with a Union Jack. We made it work, but it wouldn't be my choice, I'm sure. We didn't really go, but they loved it.
Talking of commissions, if you could only have one more painting in you, that's depressing, isn't it? Sorry, but you know, that took a turn, didn't it?
talking to us, you might just give up your career. It's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
You can only paint one car, all right, repeatedly then for the rest of your life. I don't know whether that's any more cheerful. What would that car be?
Oh, that's such a difficult one.
Well done, Tony. Good one.
That's right, you can take a break for a minute while she thinks, Mike.
A car that I have really enjoyed capturing, and it's purely because a lot of people rallied them, and that's the Escort. People have had various different scenes with the Escort. I've done storm scenes or going through water, and they've turned out amazing. So anyone that wants to capturing racing or rallying in the snow or some element really nice. So I think I'd probably want to do maybe that on a scene that I've never done before, maybe driving down a volcano that's erupting or really crazy.
That would have been one difficult holiday, wouldn't it? Yeah. I took my Mark 1 Escort to Krakatoa, and you never guess what happened.
Well, catch on canvas, eh?
Just a wall of lava, and he's got the photos and everything. And can you capture where it melted the bumper? You've had quite a few celebrity clients over the years, which does impress me. An awful lot of racing drivers. I mean, just looking at the website, Mika Häkkinen, Derek Bell, Paddy Hopkirk, obviously a huge name in racing, Mark Blundell, Sir Frank Williams. That's impressive. Do they have far more idea of what they want? Obviously, somebody comes to you and they've got one or two cars, it's pretty straightforward. But if you take any of those racing drivers, they've raced so many cars over the years. Is it difficult just to pinpoint one particular scene in their careers?
Yes, you're completely right, it is. So sometimes, like for example, Mark Blundell, he had a very clear idea. He wanted to capture his Toronto win, and he was very clear in what he wanted. So when we designed that, I got the thumbs up straight away. We captured it. He was part of the journey. And then when it was presented to him in the hotel in Mayfair, he was over the moon. So that was wonderful. I think with other clients, such as the Jackie Stewart, we have created a collection which captures his 69, 71, and this year his 73, the 50th anniversary of those wins for him. And of course, he did so much in his career that he mentioned that to capture just one of the wins that he had, we just couldn't do it. We couldn't choose. So we collected a array of different scenes from all his victories within that year. And it's incredible. So we're going to be doing our third one this year, which is our last, unfortunately, because, of course, those were those world championship years. But he did so much. And for Sir Jackie Stewart, we've had some incredible stories where we've picked the right scenes and the right cars. And when the time comes to present that, we've had a change of mind, haven't we? So we have to then go back and change a few. And, of course, his artworks have been done. So it's been a little difficult sometimes, but what's so great is that because he's got an input, when that final artwork is done, he has given 10 out of 10 to everything on it, and all those little artworks that have been done previously, either they're a masterpiece that he owns or I own, and we keep that connection, so it's nice.
So what you're saying is if there's anybody else who, say, raced a McLaren in the 70s, you've got something you can offer them straight off the shelf, you know. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got one of them. Yeah, it's not. We would just change the colour.
Yeah.
We'll just go over Sir Jackie's face and we'll put you in instead.
Like, may be what we would do. There's a certain standard to be upheld here, I think.
It's how long, it's a bit how long's a piece of string, but generally how long would a piece take from the time that you agree what you're going to do? When would somebody, you know, expect to sort of see it unveiled?
We have a 6-month waiting list. So when a commission is booked, then 6 months from there, I'll then just start designing the artwork with the client and we'll go from there. So within that kind of time period, 8-9 months, for a collaboration with either Sir Jackie Stewart, Paddy, or something like that, it can take a little bit longer because there's so much involved in the artwork.
Not just racing drivers. fans of Dragon's Den will be aware of one of your clients, Theo Perfitis. Now, is that not Austin? I'm doing this from memory because I haven't got it in front of me. A35 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. That's great.
What's the connection there?
So Theo races at Goodwood and various other races. He's actually part of a team with Mark Blundell. So the artworks were booked together, and I've done two now for Theo Perfitis. Really, really great guy. And those artworks were presented to him at the Goodwood members meet in the snow. I remember it very clearly.
I saw the picture. I was going to say,
you got the photo, yeah.
Your paintings must be waterproof.
It was a little scary for me. And we did it within the kind of lots of photos were taken, a bit of media as well. But inside, I was just thinking, please hurry up. It's snowing. Another memory.
Absolutely.
I've got lots of stories for sure. Various different clients we've met, or celebrities which have just been incredible individuals. So welcoming, so warm and kind. It's quite humbling, actually.
Has anybody really overawed you that you sort of thought, oh, it's, you know, that's sort of such a big name, it's scary?
I would say personality wise, I went with my artwork to Paris to see Remy Julien, who again was the stunt coordinator for the Italian Job movie.
Yep.
And yep. I was told that he was a character. I thought, that could mean anything, couldn't it? And I remember hiring this awful little black C1 from the airport and driving 2 hours down south in France to meet him. All my artwork in the back, as you can imagine, these cars are tiny, driving on the wrong side of the road, and it was quite an experience. And when I got there, he was in, I think he was 94-95 at the time.
Yeah.
And I expected, of course, him to be inside or, you know, taking it easy. I drove down the drive to find him, and he was there. He'd just come off a 10-mile bicycle journey. He just got off his bike, and he just showed me his bruise on his arm that he fell off the week before. And then he got his wife and a friend, and we went for coffee and some food, and he was the friendliest man with all the energy, the brain power, he was fantastic, to the point where the artwork was signed, and then we went out for another meal and had so much wine. He was just hilarious, and he didn't speak a word of English, so we had a translator. I don't think the translator could keep up with this gentleman. He was on fire. Amazing.
Because you've mentioned him before, haven't you, Mike, when we were talking
I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I mean, he did turn the Italian Job, as you know, from a decent script into something that was really memorable. A lot of the stunt work was just Remy getting into a Mini and saying, do you know, I could jump over there. I could put that up on two wheels. I reckon I could, you know, get that through there. I reckon we could get 3 Minis into the back of that bus, and so on. I mean, he did try and do the complete barrel roll in the sewer, and they managed it once, and they didn't get it on camera. Unfortunately, it was the one side they weren't filming. They did a complete 360-degree roll. Yeah, he must have been a fascinating guy to speak to. I wish I'd had the opportunity to. He's obviously sadly no longer with us.
As speaking to him as an older gentleman, and he was explaining stories of James Bond movies that he did stunts with, and also the Italian Job, and how much ability he had to pretty much have free rein on the Italian Job. He just mentioned things that went completely wrong, to things that went wrong but were captured on camera, and before you know it, it's a famous scene, but he didn't want it to be. Various things that happened, which made the Italian Job what it is, when really it was very much free for all when it comes to stunts. He did things then that you probably may not be able to do without the safety equipment. They didn't even have it back then. Yes, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, as you were saying earlier, but the jump between the two roofs that was done in Turin, I think was part of the Fiat car factory, wasn't it? But they had no safety nets.
No.
They did that jump, it was however many feet, and the cars landed, and it broke two of them. two of the Minis that landed, one, they didn't run anymore. One, it cracked the engine block. I think the other one, it completely killed the suspension on these cars. But they were so convinced, they did it on a Sunday, and they were so convinced somebody was going to get killed because it was such a dangerous stunt. It was about a 60-foot drop. And if that had happened, if the cars hadn't made it, and there was, you can't sort of try something like that. And if it doesn't work, oh, well, that's fine. Yeah, they had to just go for it, to just accelerate these cars and go for it. And the courage that must take, knowing if it hadn't cleared. And they did it with three cars all at once.
Mm-hmm. The director, Peter Collinson, I worked together with his wife on one of the artworks. And I remember asking a few questions. And she said that her husband, Peter, was crazy. But what scared her is that Remy was even more crazy. And so told him he could do anything he wanted to do. Gosh, she just said a lot of the time she just closed her eyes and walked away because she didn't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen.
Can we get some, because that compilation piece that you've done there, or indeed any of these, are you allowed to sell them as prints or?
Prints, yes. So they're created for the 50th anniversary of the Italian Job. So only 50 were made of each of the artworks. The only difference is there's one in particular where 69 were made, and that was to celebrate, 69, yes, for the football. That was signed by Colin Bell and Sir Geoff Hurst. Because if you remember in the Italian Job, there was a football van.
Oh, yes, of course.
Tennis van, and it's, oh, gosh, maybe 10 seconds in the movie.
Yeah.
Iconic. So we've captured that.
Oh, wow.
It's a Thames, I think, isn't it? It's a Ford Thames van.
I don't see them now at all. Little rock box, which I've heard.
Yeah, which I presume is still left on that Italian mountain or Scotland where they did a bit of filming as well, but they didn't ever bring that back, did they?
Talking of critics, I mean, as an artist, I guess you don't just get praise, you get, constructive criticism.
What's the nastiest thing anyone's ever said? No,
no, no. But
what makes you cry at night?
I don't know about you, but I find as a car fan, when you're in the community, all good. Once you move outside that, it gets a bit shakier. It's not like football. It was you mentioning football. You know, football, apparently everyone loves football, and apparently that's what we need to talk about continuously. But if you say, Mini or Metro, you're talking about cars again. You've got one word out. Now, so do you find that artists look...
Find yourself some better friends, don't you?
I'll just come out with it as a raw question. Do other artists look down their noses at you because you're painting pretty pictures of cars?
I don't know. And the reason I say that is because I don't work with any other artists. I'm very individual. I don't work with any galleries, so I don't particularly... It's not the best word, but I don't compete with other artists where you go to a gallery and you've got loads of different artworks to look at and you've got critics then comparing, which I find very difficult because each one has their own style of creation. So because I keep myself separate, I work on my own when it comes to going to visit clients at shows, even promoting myself at shows, I do it on my own. And I've got my own social media platform and website where I don't really connect with any other company or gallery. So it means that all the artwork is from client to artist and you've got that connection there. There's no other involvement. I do the framing myself, sometimes even the delivery.
Wow.
So it's very one-on-one.
Wow.
Mike, that's good advice for Car Chum there, if we basically just ignore everyone else.
just keep the podcast to ourselves.
Just to ourselves.
Saying,
don't publish it.
No, don't let anyone hear it. do you paint anything other than cars?
I do a few portraits here and there for specific clients, and sometimes they're involved with the final artwork. For example, with the Sir Jackie Stewart artwork, the John Cooper artworks, they've all got portraits within them of the actual individuals.
Do you find that more difficult, the face bit?
I think the difficult thing is incorporating the car with the background with the face, that's probably the biggest thing to make it flow. But it does work quite well. I've got a brand new pop art collection coming soon, which a lot of celebrities are involved with for this coming year, which I'm going to tease you about a little bit because it's very, very exciting. And that really does celebrate kind of that Andy Warhol pop art look with celebrities that we know and love in the car world. So it's very exciting.
I'm going to ask this question just purely for the audience who might not know. It's nothing to do with me not really knowing. Pop art, just and bright colours, Andy, but can you paint that picture a little bit more for us?
Yeah, nice. The very famous, of course, that Marilyn Monroe scene. We've got the Campbell soup, which kind of Andy Warhol did promote back in that kind of 60s era. And that kind of cult following transformed into various different collections of his. And of course, with that pop art look, Andy Warhol did pioneer it, but many others did do it. And it was back in that 60s and 70s scene. And one of the celebrities that I'm working with, I approached him with the idea. And he said, you know what? He said, I was asked by Andy Warhol to be part of that pop art series. But what Andy wanted is he wanted 6 weeks straight of one-on-one studio time with this individual. And he said, I just couldn't do it in the schedule. So other people were chosen and he didn't get the opportunity. So it's quite nice that now it's being brought back, hopefully, and I will be doing the new Andy Warhol kind of, but no 6 week in the studio necessary. It's all remote. It's all fine.
And you can't tell us who that client is, I guess. Not is yet. That a secret?
It's secret, but we'll be working.
Give us a clue.
Okay,
Lou Reed, The Velvet Underground, Nico. Who could it be?
I might just go for something more achievable. When you're allowed to say, come back and let us know at Karsham, won't you? How's that?
Oh, you'll definitely know about it.
There you go. See,
ooh, that's good. Look, that's good.
I know. It's not my first rodeo, Mike. Not my first.
we don't talk about that either. Talk about that week at the rodeo. Still got the scars.
Do you think as getting to enjoy classics and cars generally and the internal combustion engine, as that gets more difficult and more expensive, do you think that's an opportunity? He says, sounding like your manager. Do you think that sounds like an opportunity for people to live more of their car memories and maybe even dreams through artwork?
I'd say so. Yeah, I would say so. There's lots of cars that people have had that just to maybe the engineering of them, you don't see around anymore. And I think people like to live those memories. And I think the same will happen now where we've got all these new cars coming out and lots of people got different opinions. Some have got a lot of character, some are lacking in personality, and you've got a mixed match. But back in that kind of classic car time, people do like to keep those memories alive, and that's where the artwork comes in.
Mm. Has anybody asked you to do Shudder an electric car? Yeah.
No, they haven't. Not yet. I've got lots of clients who have got classics that have turned them into electrics. I'm on the border at the moment. I'm not so sure. I've yet to be convinced. But I know lots of people that have done that.
My take on that is I will drive an electric classic when the last drop of oil has been used up, when there is no more fuel anywhere, and I've got sick of pushing the car, then I might consider putting an electric engine in it.
It's part of Mike's contract with Car Chum that every time a guest or I mention him, basically the future, but certainly EVs or electric, he has to make that noise, which is like a ghost.
I feel the shudder.
Yeah, if you listen back to any of the podcasts, every time it's mentioned.
I know. I hate it. I just hate electric cars. So I've driven them and I hate them.
For me, when I put the key in the Mini and I turn it on, because of course I have a classic Mini and we use it for self-drive hire. So lots of people come to visit us at the studio and they take the Mini out into the Peak District for a day and they come back and always, always, they have the biggest smile on their face. And the next words is, I'm going to get one. And that's just what we want. We just want people to love driving a classic car. And we find that it's when the engine gets turned on, that beam on their face, they are so excited and they just can't wait to really hear the engine roar. And that's just with a Mini. It's not really anything that quick or that loud. And I just have this horrible feeling of turning into electric. They put the key in, they turn it, and it's like,
nothing happens. Yeah.
Well, it's the heart and soul of an old car is the engine, is the noise, is the experience, is even the fact that it's perhaps not that fast. Which Mini is it? Which one have you got?
It's one of the last. It's a 2000 Sports Pack. It's fully restored on the inside, really plush, and it's red and white, so it's really iconic, giving people a great British adventure in the Peak District.
So it's a fairly, you know, for a Mini, it's quite a quick Mini then.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think a lot of people say that it feels like they're going like a rocket ship, and then they look down, they're only going 35 miles an hour. So as long as it feels good.
but that's the right way, isn't it? I've been through quite a few cars in my life, either owned or loaned, press and
stolen,
aka borrowed. I would say I reached my power peak probably 10 to 15 years ago, a long time ago, and subsequently I've come down and down and down, and I enjoy less. You know, less is more. You know, I enjoy being able to actually push the vehicle a bit more. Whereas Mike, of course, you just get to enjoy pushing your vehicle full stop.
Pushing the vehicle, yeah, that is the joy of having a Mini as well. Should it break down, you can sort of carry it home.
Oh, no, the prices, though. You're partly responsible for driving up the prices of Minis, because I'd look at them occasionally and think, oh, I can't quite fancy it. No, I don't. You know, they really have escalated. But because they offer a great, you know, they've always offered a fantastic package, and you can get the bits, and they're iconic, and they're low on fuel, which right at this moment I know that will kind of pass in some form or other, but you know, that's very appealing. So they've got a whole package going on there, haven't they?
They have. And what makes me love it so much is that I've always loved classics, but when I got behind the Mini and I drove it for myself, my love just went, you know, into the sky, because I really did fall for it. And I thought, you know what, there are people out there that, you know, they like Minis and they like classics, but to actually experience it themselves, I want them to get that buzz that I got. And we've had clients come back and their families have been in it, and they've used it for marketing purposes for companies, and just to really get people smiling. I think that's what the classic cars do. They've got so much character. You can't help but just want to smile, really.
I think you're brave lending anybody a car.
Very.
I realise it's sort of a business concern, but I would, you know, even people that I would trust to drive and who know what they're doing, I'd be scared to lend my car to somebody. So seeing people just sort of turn up and walk up to the house and you go, there's the keys, and off they go. I would spend the entire weekend worrying.
Yes, it's very unusual. There's not many people that do it at all, which I like niche. So if I can bring something that's a little niche, that's great.
How much insurance do you pay a year?
Oh, I can't tell you that. I can tell you my insurance. I work with Lancaster Insurance.
Okay.
So they are brilliant. they cover us for retro mini hire.
I'm just imagining, like, people turn out and go, oh, I haven't driven a manual gearbox for 40 years. Grinding away down the road. Oh, going to need a new clutch. Going to need, yeah.
I'll talk just briefly. Are you one of many, or are you? I know what you'll say. You'll say my artwork is unrepeatable. It's only me, etc. But in terms of the sphere of not even painting, but producing artwork of classic cars and, you know, the situations that they sit in, are you one of many, or are you one of very few?
I think to answer that question, what I like to do is ask other people, if you were to have a classic car and you wanted it painted, who would you ask? And I think that really does show how few there are, because a lot of people can't think, or they will talk about artists that have retired and are no longer with us, or no longer painting cars. So I think it is a very small market. And from what I know, when I go to car shows and I'm painting live with a company, or I'm going there just for my own pleasure, really, I do notice that there's such a love for these treasured cars, and not many are really capturing that in something special. So if I can keep being one of the few, I would be very happy with that.
Is there a dream commission? Is there one you've always thought, I'd love to do a painting for her, for him, of a particular car or scene or something? Is there anything you've...
I kind of reached that dream, one of my dreams. 2 years ago, I worked with Mika Häkkinen, the Formula One driver, and created bespoke artwork together with him, and that was wonderful. So I think I'd love to do something like that again, and just to kind of spend time. He was so... I put a little bit of time aside, and hours went by of just talking after the presentation of the artwork. So I think for dream-wise, I would love to just to keep on creating artwork of unique cars, whether that is for, you know, a nice guy down the road, or for someone that is quite high profile. For me, it's the artwork. They're both exactly the same. A masterpiece needs to be made.
When you sit and talk to talented people, Mike, do you ever get the feeling that we've made poor choices insofar as, I think Bex is set up for life. Are you not? You know, where you can carry. There will not be an end to what you're doing, surely.
I want to carry on. Yeah, I really, really want to carry on. I've got lots of different things that I'd like to do, is in creation wise, of different artworks. Lots of different designs that we're currently developing, not just for this year, for 5-10 years in the future. So I see this as a long game, and I'm in it completely, both feet. And both.
There'll always be art. There will always be a place in the world for art, which
is a better way of saying it. Yeah.
That wasn't the intention. it was just a vapid comment, so I couldn't think of anything else to say.
Okay, as a closer from me, once we stop recording, Kash, I'm in a few minutes' time. What does your day look like? Because you've got your artist pinny smock thing on. You know, are you back to the easel?
Yes, I've got a very exciting day today. So today, after we've spoken, I have a brand new commission of a driver called Reese Barr. And he has been a factory driver for a very long time. And he's got a brand new project. So we're going to be capturing a Mark One on a beautiful scene together. So
Mark One Escort. Okay.
Yeah. And so we're going to be talking about that on a Zoom, showing him the designs. So getting a thumbs up and then carrying on with that. That's for today. I've also got another Zoom meeting with a client talking about his second artwork, which is quite large. So we're looking at transportation of it, creation of it, framing, and all those kind of technicalities to make sure that it's absolutely perfect.
I didn't actually ask. I meant to. Was what sort of size artwork do you generally produce? Is there any sort of limitation on the size of a piece you can produce? Is there a size that you particularly like to work at?
There's no limitation. Everything is bespoke. So, of course, with minis, we tend to go for a smaller canvas. No need to go crazy. But for a larger or a longer vehicle, like a long Mercedes or something like that, we can go as big as we want. I've done a lot of, like for the AA, I've worked for the AA, for Lancaster Insurance, also Bentley, where we've done extremely large artworks where it's been had to be taken in pieces and then actually put together on site, which is scary. But it's worked perfectly well. So yeah, it's something just very different. The world is the oyster when you can do anything with artwork.
Well, you might be able to. I'm not certain that we can, but yeah.
I can never draw horses. Can you draw horses?
Me horses, I don't know. I don't. I think they're very, very difficult to do. maybe one day I'll produce a collection of horses and really shock you all with my horse painting skills. I'm not so sure if I'll do it now.
Stick to horse power.
Something about... it's something about the proportions. Yeah. Like the head's too long, the legs are too thin. I've never ever been able to draw a horse that looked anything like a horse. But
well, that's what and that's what Mike's going to be doing for the rest of the day, is practicing drawing horses.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I stick with four wheels, you can go for the four legs.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about? Any question you'd like to have been asked?
No, I think you've done spot on, to be honest. It's been really good. We've really enjoyed it. You guys are brilliant.
Okay. Right, keep that keep bit, that
yeah. Okay. I was just about to press stop. I'm glad I didn't.
So if someone wants to get in touch with you, Bex, they want to do a commission, how can they do that? You got the website. Is there any other means of getting in touch?
Social media. So when it comes to social media, whether that's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole lot, LinkedIn even... So it's either contact via social media or Art by Bex website.
And that's Art by Bex, which is all one word on the website. Mm-hmm. Art by Bex, Bex being spelled B-E-X.
And that's why Mike always represents Karchum in our international spelling bees. Many thanks to Bex. Genuinely interesting to talk to someone about cars, but from an entirely different perspective. And of course, thanks to her for putting up with our style of questioning. In between episodes, why not join us on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter? Just search Car Chum. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, but until then, pip pip.